How many are feeling more spiritually healthy this week as a result? Okay, fewer hands come up. We need to do some work. Fortunately, today we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. That will help you. That will help you. The second message this morning, last week we talked about the Holy Spirit is a person and how we interact with the Holy Spirit. How, if we have a picture of God, the Spirit is the same. Picture of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the same. One God. One God in three persons. Don't ask me about the three-person part. I don't understand how there can be one God, three persons. But you know what? God is bigger than us. Amen? He knows things that we don't know. He has conceived of things that are so beyond us that I'm glad I don't understand everything about God. If I can, He's too small. I like the fact that there are things I don't understand. That leads me to hunger and thirst and to want more of Him and to understand more of who He is. So we're learning about these vital signs. Our vital signs tell us when we're sick. If our blood pressure goes haywire, our temperature, our heartbeat, our respiratory rate, if any of those things happens, we're at 911. We're calling an ambulance and we're getting some help because our bodies aren't working right. And we know when our bodies aren't working right. But in the Spirit, sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we could have just the need for a spiritual 911 call and we think we're okay. We're just going through life. Just things are happening. We've got to identify how can we tell when our spirit is healthy or when it's not so healthy. So we're continuing on with today. Second message, character. To change our circumstances. The second vital sign. What is your character like? What's your character like? How many know that your character and God's character are vastly different? Okay? I find that out every day. When I'll do something, say something, have an attitude, or even something goes through my mind and nobody else saw it, nobody else understood what I was thinking, but then the Holy Spirit goes, psst, I was there, I saw what you just were thinking right there. I'm going, ugh! He's just there. He knows. My character is so often different from God's character. The role of the Holy Spirit in our life, guys, is to conform our character into His character. That's His job. What God wants to do is to make us like Jesus. When we read about Jesus in the Gospels, we identify what He would do, how He would act, what He would say, how He would reach out to people, how He showed compassion to people, all of who Jesus is, the Holy Spirit's job is to be in our life and conform us to that likeness. How many think that you can actually be like Christ? Okay, that's a tall order, isn't it? That's setting the bar high. Jesus even said, be perfect as I am perfect. Anybody got there yet? Okay, we have an honest group here. And for good reason. But you see, why would Jesus set a bar so high and leave us in this place where we think, well, what's the point then? I can't get there. Because you see, in yourself, you can't do it. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you submit to Him and surrender your attitudes, your thoughts, your mind, your behaviors to Him, that this is the work of the Holy Spirit to get us there ultimately. And one day we'll see Him face to face. And the Bible says, when we see Him, we will be like Him. But we'll see Him as He is. This is not a futile journey. It's a day-to-day practice in dependence and surrender to our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is character? Character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. The mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. Now, I know that my mental and moral qualities are not like God's. And that's why I'm a Christian, because I know I need to be. And I know I want to be. And I know He has the power to transform me and to turn my life. How many have realized that your character, your mental and moral qualities, have a sensitivity to outside influences? Right? You start to realize how your character is influenced by the things you listen to, by the messages that you allow into your mind, by, let's say for instance, if I have maybe watched movies that are maybe have a little more violent content, or maybe a war movie or something like that, I find myself getting a little bit internally like aggressive. It has an effect. If I'm, here's one that happens to me all the time. Maybe you're like me like this. How many are accent sensitive? Okay, you know what that means? Yeah, like you. Do I sound like I'm from another country right now? No, I sound about as white bread American as you can be. But I'll go to another country, and within about 4 hours, I've got an accent. Anybody else like that? Isn't it so weird how that happens? I'll go, my buddy Deshaun is in Sri Lanka, and I'm in Sri Lanka, and pretty soon I start to talk. And I nod my head that way. They say that for yes. And I'm thinking at myself, what are you doing? What are you doing? If I'm in the South, I'm saying y'all all of a sudden. And what? Where did that come from? It influences. It affects how we behave. The Bible even points this out when it says that bad company corrupts good character. That's what it says. Hang around people that have a negative or an ungodly moral and mental quality about them, and pretty soon it has the tendency to affect yours. Now, of course, as Christians, we ought to be saying, well, I want my good character to influence their bad. And if we're spiritually strong, and if we're living in our purpose, that can happen, but it's a fight. Because our sinful nature is very, very, very attracted to the things that it's made in. See, how many would say this morning, I really desperately want my mental and moral qualities to be in line with Jesus's? Me too. We all want that. That's our heart's desire. But when I say, are we all like Jesus? Nobody raised their hand. And that is the battle that we face every single day. Here's what Scripture says in Romans chapter 8. You, however, talking to us, the church, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. That's a power-packed verse. How many belong to Jesus Christ this morning? I know maybe not everybody. I mean, there may be some folks today that haven't yet made that decision. But if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then this verse says, you're not controlled by the sinful nature anymore. We sang it this morning, and it is well with my soul. My sin has been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. That means not only the penalty of the sin, that means the influence of the sin. We can truly walk in the Spirit, not in the sinful nature. But, there's always the but. I hate the but. It's a big but. You were already thinking it, that's why I said it. I can see in your faces, is he going to go there, is he going to go there, is he going to go there? But we don't often live in the Spirit. We live so often in accordance with the sinful nature, which if Jesus is present in our life, it's in conflict with. We're not called to live by the sinful nature anymore. So we've got to make some identifying evaluations in our mind and give some thought to this. A question. What are the mental and moral qualities that determine my behavior? What are the things in our lives, in your life, specific now? Think about it for yourself. What are the things that determine how you act, how you speak, what you think? How do you react in certain situations? Do you tend to fly off the handle? Do you tend to, just get angry fast? Or if it's a tempting situation, do you tend to give in quickly? Does your mind tend to run to those things where you know it shouldn't? In a tense situation, do you tend to worry fast or stress fast? Do you tend to lean on your own understanding and rest on your own ingenuity and your own creativity and talents instead of running to the Lord? What determines how you behave? That's really your character. The second question similar, but how do I know what my mental and moral qualities are? Some of us maybe say, well, I really haven't thought about it. I don't even know. I haven't evaluated my life so critically that I can even tell. I just kind of react. And life just happens all around me. Have I identified what I want? And have I put work in to that which is keeping me from being that way? Simply put, what does Jesus look like? Does my life look like His? See, the Bible says that when we're in Christ, we're new creatures. It's one of our four markers. The very first one, identity. When we are in Christ, we receive a new identity. Amen? We're not to live according to the sinful nature anymore, but to live by the Spirit. And as we do that, we start to take on the nature or the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's that but again. Do we have to ask ourselves really, really honestly, Lord, why do I stress out so quickly? Why do I feel so uptight and anxious? Why do I get angry so fast? Why am I fearful a lot? Why does my mind run to tempting things? Why do I want to take for myself instead of giving to others? Why is my initial reaction a lack of patience? And we can just make the list go on and on and on. There's that struggle, and there's that intense internal battle that's happening. Well, you might say, Pastor, you know, thanks for the word today, but I'm not really sure I'm tracking with you because, you know, I'm basically a good person. My nature is like Christ. I mean, I don't lie all the time. I'm only dishonest when I really feel it's necessary. My thought life isn't lustful all the time. Only when she's really hot. Come on. Come on. All the guys are looking down going, no, that's not me, that's not me. I'm not really addicted to anything. I can stop whenever I want. You follow? You see, how do we identify what our character really is? How do we identify what our moral and internal thoughts are? The Bible calls our behavior fruit. Okay, you've heard that, right? It's called fruit. What we do, what we say, what comes out of us, the Bible calls that fruit. And the Bible says we can identify the fruit. If we can identify the fruit, we can identify the type of tree, which identifies what kind of seed was planted, which is really what's inside of us. You following me this morning? We can find that. Here's what the Bible says. Luke 6:43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. Well, I don't lie all the time. Well, how many lies does it take before you're a liar? Like 1, 2, 3, 4, ding, 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 now you're a liar. Well, how many times do you have to murder somebody before you're a murderer? Well, I'll give it 3 or 4 murders before I really label you. Right? Why do we classify? One murder makes you a murderer, but we can lie all the time and we can say, I'm not a liar. Jesus said, if you even look lustfully and have those thoughts in your mind, it's you've already committed adultery in your heart. Why are we so, why are we so easy on ourselves sometimes? Oh, I made a mistake. Well, no, it was sin. Well, I'm just kind of undisciplined in that way. No, it's a lifestyle. Right? Let's treat our sin the way God does, because God knows it's killing us. And He's not willing that we perish. Where we will kind of pacify it and pet it. And this verse says, listen, you can tell. You can tell what your character is. You can tell what's going on inside by the fruit. How do you speak? How do you act? What are the thoughts that go on in your mind? What are the motives that happen? Well, that's your fruit. Good fruit, good tree. Bad fruit, bad tree. Each tree is recognized by its fruit. And when I read that verse, that just bums me out. I look and I go, man, I must be a bad tree. Because I've got bad fruit that so often comes out when I get angry. and I get frustrated, or when my mind gets uncontrolled. And anybody with me on this statement? But sometimes I bear good fruit, and sometimes I bear bad fruit. I'm confused. What's my problem? Anybody with me on that? That's life, isn't it? That's our existence. The Bible even addresses this in Romans chapter 7. Here's what it says. I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. How many can say amen to that? Isn't that crazy? It's like we're in this massive tug of war between what we want to do and what we know we should. And we're in the middle of it. We're going, ah! Praise God for His grace. Amen? And praise God for the Holy Spirit that's inside of us, helping us to realize we are living in sinful flesh. We're going to learn about this more. We're in sinful flesh, but our spirit is alive to Christ. And that leaves us in a constant tension, a constant battle. Let me tell you, if you battle against sin, you are normal. Okay? Now, I didn't say, well, if you give in to sin now and then, and it's okay, and don't worry about it. I didn't say that. I said, if you're in a battle, it's normal. Jesus battled against sin while He was on this earth. Jesus did. So what makes us think we're going to be free of the battle? The issue is, will we continue to submit to the Spirit and let the Spirit rule, or will we submit to the sinful nature and let the sinful nature rule? So let's look at our natures. Understanding why I behave the way I do, a tale of two natures. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. It speaks of two natures that live inside of us and the wrestling match that happens. Here's what it says. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. That's that battle. One desires one desires the other, and they're not in agreement. Where was I? Oh, yeah. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious, or the fruit of the sinful nature. It's obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And the like is a good phrase, just in case you didn't find your particular pet sin in there. Just plug yours in. Okay? It's in there, under and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, get this, this is powerful. Those who live like this, say it with me, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Praise God, He's nailed it to the cross, and I bear it no more. But people who live like this, people who live according to the sinful nature, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, there's that but, and that's a good but right there. Okay, I'm going to get off that one because I'm going to just mess this up. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me read that again. Say it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Right here is powerful, powerful, powerful truth. Let's go back one slide. Two slides. So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, sinful nature. That's a great piece of Scripture, isn't it? Okay, it's starting to sink in. You mean I don't have to do the things? I mean, I feel like I'm compelled sometimes. Like I'm just blindly being led into the sin I don't want to do. And the Scripture says, no, you don't have to do that. If you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And then we get a little further ahead, and it says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature. How often do you have to crucify the sinful nature? All the time, right? What did Jesus say? Take up your cross when? Daily. That's what he means. When he says take up your cross daily, he doesn't mean go out and find a piece of wood and drag it around and say, look at me and my cross. No, it's your sinful nature. That's what he's saying. Every day. And how many would say for you, it's like multiple times a day? Okay. I got my hand up. Okay, just so you don't feel alone, I got my hand up. It feels like every couple of minutes. Bam, there's a thought, crucify that sinful nature. Whoa, where'd that come from? Out of the blue. That came out of nowhere. You ever have those thoughts? Those that came out of nowhere thoughts? Unfortunately, sometimes my thoughts come out from exactly where I know they came. Because I've allowed my mind to go there. Or my tongue, or whatever it is. So let's figure this out. What is this sinful nature? The word in the Greek, I threw it in there for you just so you'd understand. Because the Bible oftentimes uses this word flesh. And when we say flesh, it doesn't mean this is bad, okay? It doesn't mean your skin, your muscles, your blood. That doesn't mean it's bad. When we use the term flesh, it's synonymous with sinful nature, okay? That which is in contrary to the Spirit. So in some of your scriptures, you might come across flesh, and that's what it means. Your sinful nature is that. Now, you have this sinful nature from birth, okay? Some would get this backwards. We're not sinners because we sinned. We sin because we're sinners. And that's really, really important to understand. Romans chapter 5 says this, that because of the sin of one man, Adam, sin came into the world, and therefore we're all sinners. And just to verify this, how many have gone through life so far and haven't yet sinned? Okay, there. Looks like we're honest, most of us. I saw a teasing hand go up, and I knew it was teasing. How many realize that when you have little children, we got lots of babies in our church, and they're growing up into toddlers. How many taught them to be selfish? You don't have to teach them. It just comes out of them. No! Not, and the first time that little one says no, you've been giving them life. You bore them for 9 months, moms, and you went through the pain of childbirth, and you've nursed them, and you get up every night, sometimes multiple times a night, and you sacrifice for them, and they get to be about 1.5, 2 years old, and they look at you and they go, no, mine. After what all I've done for you. And you didn't have to train them to say that. It just came out of them. You're with me, right? No kid teaches them, let me sit you down right now. And it's okay once in a while to defy me. Nobody does that because it's in our nature. Romans chapter 5, because of the sin of one man, sin came into the world and therefore we all sin. We sin because we're sinners. And this flies in the face of all the theories that say, well, we're basically a good human race. If we just have enough education, and enough money put into social programs, we'll stop fighting. We'll stop being selfish. We'll just all get along. Can I just tell you, it ain't going to work. Because we're sinners. That's who we are. And without Christ, we live in the sinful nature. So we've got this from birth. So we need to be rescued from the sinful nature, right? We need freedom. There's only one way to get it. And that's through the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. The sinful nature breeds these sinful desires. Why do you have these sinful desires? Because you got a sinful nature. You're born with it. Can't escape it. The desires now aren't necessarily bad until you give in to them. Again, Hebrews chapter 2 says that Jesus was tempted in every way, just like we were, but without sin. He had a I find that baffling sometimes. I think, Jesus was tempted like me? Yeah. You know why? So that I could never, ever go to him and say, God, you don't understand. I can never say that. I can never single myself out and say, well, my problem's different than yours, Lord. After all, you're God. You don't know what I'm feeling. He goes, oh, yeah. And more. Our sinful desires come from that nature. And sinful desires then result in sinful behavior. That makes sense. We're just walking down the path, right? You're sinners from birth. We've got sinful desires. The sinful desires, when we give in to them, turn into sinful behavior, and this is all bound up in the law. What do we mean in the law? It means that the law that God created to help us identify that we are sinners. If you're on the freeway and you're driving 85, but there's no law that says you can't drive 85, is it against the law? No. But you're driving down 280 and you're going 85, and how many are checking their mirror? Or you got Waze on, and you're hoping Waze will show you where the CHP is 2 miles down the road. Why do we have a guilty conscience about doing that? Because there's a law. And you see, we sometimes think the law in the Old Testament is bad. No, the law in the Old Testament is good. Because without the law, we wouldn't recognize that we're sinners by birth. You follow? So God gave that to us so we could realize, oh man, I'm in trouble. How great a gift is that? It's the greatest gift for someone to say, hey, you're in trouble, when you don't know you're in trouble. Because if you don't know, you'll never get help. If you don't know, you'll never search out the remedy. But God in His grace gave the law to show us that we can't keep the law, causing us then to cry out to God and say, I need a Savior. So the law is good. But it's all bound up in our flesh. What about the Spirit? The Spirit is life. The word, Greek word there, pneuma, that's the same word that's used in Genesis when it said God breathed into us. Now at creation, that breath was forced. They spank your booty when you're born, and you take that first breath, and it's the breath of God. He gave that to us. But to live by the Spirit and keep breathing that, not in a biological way, but in a spiritual way, that's your choice. That's your choice. We have to continue to choose every day to breathe the life of the Spirit into us. We have the Spirit when we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts. We already read that in Romans chapter 8, and there's a ton of scriptures that we can reference there. But as soon as you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit really, really takes up residence in your life. He's now your Lord and Savior. He's Jesus inside. And this Spirit produces godly desires. Whenever you have a godly desire, it's the Spirit. We don't have really the capacity to have godly desires without Him. Matter of fact, the very fact that you're saved or that you accepted Christ wasn't because you were so smart or you were so spiritually attuned. The Bible says that no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him in the first place. So even that salvation was the work of the gracious hand of God in our lives. The Spirit produces His nature in us, which is revealed by godly behavior or fruit. The fruit that we read about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things, He produces that. So when you start realizing, wow, I'm more patient than I used to be. Ding, 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 that's God. I really would have reacted a lot more aggressively and angrily in that situation. But instead, I'm feeling the joy that I didn't have before. Ah! That's the Spirit. He's working. He's doing it. Oh, man. I used to just have no self-control at all. Now, I'm having the ability to identify and to pick and choose which behavior to take. Wow. Self-control is coming. That's the Spirit. He's working. And He's doing in your life. He's recreating the Spirit of God. And the beauty of this is that there's no law with the things of the Spirit. We've already been identified that we need Jesus. Then when we find out and we accept Jesus, now we can live free of law. There's no law that says, well, you know, you can love only so much, and then after that, you're being a little excessive. No, you love all you want. Let's just be gluttonous with love. Well, you know, you're pretty kind, and I'll let you be kind up until, you know, a point, and then, you know, your kindness is, you're overdoing it. Right? There's no law. We can wallow in peace. We can just bathe in goodness. There's no law here. He sets us free to be who He's created us to be. Now we realize the flesh and the Spirit are in conflict. They fight. And we've already established that in our lives because that's where we live. But both the Spirit and the sinful nature produce fruit. How many have realized that? When you let your mind wallow in the flesh, you produce fleshly fruit. When you let your mind marinate in the Spirit, you produce spiritual or godly fruit. The tree, type of tree always determines the kind of fruit. I've got an apple tree in my backyard. It's never produced cherries. Not once. But why is it in our Christian life we want to let our mind bathe in ungodliness? We fill our hearts with impurity. We watch what we want to watch. We hear what we want to hear. We surround ourselves with ungodliness. And then we expect the Spirit of God to come out. And when it doesn't, we're shocked. Where did that come from? What do you mean, where did it come from? You've been wallowing in that all week long. It came from exactly where you would expect it would come from. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your mouth, your behavior, always gives you away. Always. The kind of fruit will come out from the kind of tree that we have. And the tree is the result of seed. The seed you sow determines the fruit you bear. So let's get down to it. Last couple of minutes. Say, Pastor, I really want to live by the Spirit. I don't want to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I understand that those things are harmful and they're not godly. And if I call myself a Christian, I really need to have the fruit coming out of my life, because that's my character. That reveals my character. That is my character. I don't want to live by the sinful nature anymore. I'm of Christ and I want to live with my new identity. Life in Christ. Well, the simple answer is, what kind of seed are you sowing? Are you sowing that which is ungodly? Are you filling yourself with that which is of the flesh? Are you letting your mind just be saturated with ungodly things? Oh yeah, but I have my quiet time. Well, I wonder if we spent as much time with the Lord, or even just recognizing His presence throughout the day, as we do with the things we watch or the things we entertain ourselves with, or just the attitudes that we allow to percolate in our minds. See, it's what we sow. So I want to give you, in regard to this seed sowing, just a few verses after Galatians 5, we get to Galatians 6. And there's four laws of sowing and reaping. Four laws. Okay, I want to teach these to you. You can use them. And hopefully then we can begin to sow good seed. And that good seed will produce good desires. The good desires will then produce good behavior, which then reveals the character of the Spirit. And we can live in that. Here's what the Scripture says. Galatians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. In other words, think what you want. This is the way it is. Okay, that's what that means. This is the truth. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. It's equational. Sow the seed, here's what you're going to get. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary then in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. The four laws of sowing and reaping. You will sow. You will sow. Everybody is sowing. All the time. You get that, right? There's never a time when you're neutral. When you're just thinking, well, I'm not really sowing good or bad. I'm just kind of, you know, nothing right now. There's no such thing as nothing. You're always sowing. Your mind is always working. You're either sowing to the Spirit or you're sowing to the flesh. So there takes an intentional, deliberate act on our part to submit to the Spirit. What are you doing right now? I'm submitting to the Spirit. How are you behaving right now? I'm submitting to the Spirit. Okay, it's conscious. And does it take effort? Yes. That's why in the Scriptures it's called a spiritual battle. Okay? It's not a spiritual, you know, cotton ball fight. It's warfare, the Scripture says. You will sow. If you're not sowing to the sinful or spiritual nature, you're sowing to the flesh. There's no middle ground. You will sow. You will reap. Everybody's going to reap. Something's going to come out. I don't know when it's going to come out. I don't know how it's going to come out. But I guarantee you this. When I've had my character revealed in certain times, it's not usually a fun time when it's bad. Now, when it's good, it's really like, wow, that's not how I acted before. Praise God. But sometimes it's, oh, man, I didn't want to say that. I wish I could have held my tongue in that situation. Why is my attitude so angry and aggressive? What am I doing? And I can see very clearly, very quickly, by reaping what I had sown. You will reap what you sow. You can't sow pears and get apricots. You can't sow to the sinful nature and then try really hard and then spiritual will come out of that. No. It's a natural result. How many have ever heard your trees in your backyard grunting? You ever heard that? You know that really weird sound as you're sleeping and in the middle of the night you hear this. That's your tree out in the backyard. And then suddenly you hear bloop, and that was the fruit. Ever heard that? No, of course not, because it's ridiculous. Trees don't grunt. Trees don't sweat. They just produce naturally. Right? Isn't it amazing how naturally the fruit comes out of you, whether good or bad? It's so natural. Yeah, my mind just goes there. Yeah, my tongue just goes there. Yeah, my attitude just goes there. It's natural. Well, of course, because you will sow. You will reap. You will reap what you sow. And it will come out clearly. Because good trees bear good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit. That's the way it works. And number four, you will reap more than you sow. This one doesn't make me feel very good, but it's the truth. You will reap more than you sow. How many apples are found in an apple seed? I don't know, but more than one. As that tree grows and then that tree bears fruit, and there can be thousands of apples in one apple seed. Just like I don't always know how much is going to come out of me when I've sown to my sinful nature. And I don't always know the unintended consequences of that either. In the same way, when I sow to the Spirit, I don't know how the ripple effect is going to happen when what comes out of me is Christ-like and joyful or good or self-controlled. I don't always see what the ripple effect is going to be like, but I praise God that more always comes out of the single seed. What are you sowing today? What are you sowing? Are you sowing according to the flesh or the Spirit? Because how you sow will produce the tree. What comes out of you, your fruit, will be consistent with what you've sown. And that will reveal that's your nature. Praise God that those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's our desire this week. Live by the Spirit. Get into your Word. Pray. Know what the Word of God says so that you can identify clearly, oh, that one right there I need to avoid. It's a real simple kind of a Sunday schoolish type thing to think, but I think it a lot. If Jesus is with me right now, would I really be thinking doing that right now? And we teach that to our little children, but you know, it works for me. Would I be sitting with Jesus right now watching that? What are we sitting with Jesus right now, listening to that, laughing to that, saying those things, acting that way? He's with you. The Holy Spirit's inside. And will we sow to please that or to please the sinful nature? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for your challenge to us. But most of all, Lord, I thank you for the truth that we have your Spirit inside of us. And that, God, we can submit to you and find that our spirit is strengthened. And that each day I decide to crucify my sinful nature and say, no, I will not think that way. I will not let my temper lose control. I will not let my tongue loose. I will not let my mind focus on that. Instead, I will fill my mind with the things of God. I will fill my heart with that which is pure and right. And then find, Lord, that little by little, my nature is actually being transformed by the Holy Spirit of God, and the fruit of the Spirit is coming out. Where once I would be angry, now I'm peaceful. Once I would be judgmental, now I am kind. Once I would be out of control, now I'm self-controlled. Once I would be eager to punish and be vindictive, and now I'm loving. God, I pray You'd help us on that process. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, in a few moments, we're going to have our prayer partners come to the front, as we always do. And I'm going to invite you to come and pray. I want to invite specifically those who have not yet made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Because without Jesus, your spirit is not yet alive to the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have a choice but to satisfy the sinful nature. That's all you got. But when you accept Jesus into your life, now you've got a new nature, a new identity. You're a son and a daughter of God. And now you can begin to live by the Spirit. If you've never made that decision, I want you to come to one of the prayer partners when they come in a few moments and just tell them, I'd like to invite Jesus into my life today. And they're going to lead you. For many others, you just might find yourself caught in that tug-of-war struggle. And maybe you find yourself giving in more to the sinful nature than the Spirit. I'd like to ask you to come and pray. You know, we all saw each other's hands when we signified by how often we struggle. Every single person raised their hand. So there's no one that should feel you're the oddball. We all get it. Even in Scripture, we read in Romans 7 how God gets it. We want to do, but we don't do. And we end up doing what we don't want to do. We need strength. And we can find strength in our brothers and sisters as we agree in prayer together. So when the prayer partners come, I invite you to come and pray with someone and just say, you know, I want the Spirit to be that which I submit to rather than sinful nature. And I'd just like you to pray with me to give me strength. Father, I pray for these just wonderful people, our family of Abundant Life. I thank You so much, God, for this group of people. We are blessed to have each other. We are blessed to have You, Lord. And I pray this week that we will recognize the vital sign of spiritual health. The fruit of the Spirit is being developed and cultivated and made visible as it comes out of our lives in fruit. I thank You, Lord, for Your presence today. I thank You, God, for what's about to happen in our prayer groups, that You're going to change lives as we pray together. And I give You the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.